This sermon was recorded at Christ Church Mission, a congregation that seeks to be a people fully alive in God's kingdom.
Today's gospel reading is from the book of Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him? But go. Tell his disciples and Peter he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right. Do you like to be singled out? That's the question for this morning. Do you like to be singled out? Let's start with the kids. Kids, imagine yourself, sorry, I know it's Sunday, but imagine yourself in class and your teacher calls your name. Is this a good feeling? Is this the bad feeling? You know, are they calling, it probably depends, right? Are they calling on you because you're in trouble? Are they calling on you to answer a question that you might not know the answer to? Or maybe they're calling on you to praise you for a good grade on your last test. I don't know if teachers do that, but let's imagine that's the case. Grown-ups, what about you guys? Do you like the feeling of being singled out? It depends, probably, right? In a group, if attention is called to you, do you see it as your moment to shine? Some of you, yes, I'm sure. Others of you hate being singled out and are probably getting anxious just thinking about that scenario as you sit here this morning. But it depends on why. Maybe somebody's telling a charming story about you and you find yourself singled out in that way. Maybe you're being thanked publicly for a job well done. Or maybe you're being singled out because you have done something embarrassing. Or maybe you're being critiqued in front of others. Very different experiences. Is it good to be singled out? It totally depends on why. I think it's my most embarrassing moment ever was a moment of being singled out. So when I graduated high school, my school did this thing called Project Grad, I think it was called, and it was basically like a big party for the graduates right after the graduation ceremony, where we rented out a bowling alley or something, and they kept us up until 2 or 3 in the morning, and they fed us junk food all night, and they raffled off lots of prizes, and it was just a big celebration for all the kids who had just graduated and a chance for them to be together one last time. So I was at that party, and it was very late in the night at this point, 2 a.m., maybe 3, I'm not sure. And we were all exhausted. And so I remember I was laying on the floor of this bowling alley. And with my friends and my classmates, you know, scattered all around. And it had come to the last raffle of the night, and then they were going to send us on. So they were reading off the name for the last raffle, and I never win anything, but guys, that was my day, you know? So they announced my name. I think I won like some camping supplies or something. And so I was pumped and I jumped up and all my classmates turned to look at me and applaud me. And that's a good moment of being singled out, you know? But the bad part of being singled out is that as I went to my feet in triumph, my friend Jake grabbed my shorts. And as I went up, the shorts went down at the same time, and I was, you know, that was the last time I think I've seen most of those people. It was just me in triumph, you know? Sorry, that's not a good Easter Sunday story. I'm aware of that. I know that some of you are with your moms. I'm sorry. How does it feel to be singled out is the question. It depends on why. Why is it happening? Well, someone in our Easter passage this morning is singled out. It's the classic Easter text where the tomb is empty. Jesus had been crucified and died, but now he is risen. And the women go to the tomb that morning to see and tend to the body, and the stone had been rolled away. And when they go inside, they don't find Jesus there. Instead, they find an angel, and they're shocked and bewildered. And the angel immediately goes about trying to, like, calm them down and lower their anxiety. The angel is like, guys, listen. I know why you've come. I know that you've come to see Jesus. Look, Jesus, I know he was the one that was crucified. He's not here. He's trying to calm the nerves of these women. Look around, he says. He's not here. And the women, okay. They're trying to stay calm and get their minds about them. They say, okay. And then the angel looks them in the eyes and says, look, this is what I want you to do. Go tell his disciples and Peter. Go tell his disciples and Peter. What? Why and Peter? Why is Peter being singled out? Look, it's in the text, I promise. Trish just read it. But go tell his disciples and Peter. What's with the and Peter? Why is he being singled out at the empty tomb? The angel gives these very specific instructions. Tell the disciples and Peter. I think there are two reasons why Peter is singled out in this passage. Why the angel wants to be sure that Peter gets the message that Jesus has risen from the dead. Two reasons. First, Peter, of all people, would have the hardest time believing that the resurrection is true. Peter, of all people, would have the hardest time believing that it's true. So make sure, the angel says, that you tell Peter. Now, some of you might be thinking, come on, Dean, wasn't Peter one of Jesus' right-hand men? Like, Peter, of all people, should have gotten it. Why wasn't Peter expecting this news, actually? You know, why wasn't Peter, when he hears the news of the resurrection, like, nice, yes, just like he always said, you know? But that's not the case. Look, Jesus had been talking to the disciples about his death and resurrection for a long time, not the least of which to Peter. No one should have known this more than Peter. Wouldn't Peter be expecting this news? No. Because despite Peter's close proximity to Jesus, he could not get his mind around the ways of Jesus. He couldn't wrap his mind around it. He couldn't accept it. Now, certainly Peter believed that Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one of God to save the world, but he couldn't accept the ways that he would save the world. When Jesus would talk about his death, Peter would lash out at him and say, never, Lord, no, it won't happen. When the guards came to arrest Jesus in the garden, Peter is the one that pulled out his sword and tried to start a war. He didn't get it. Peter had such a hard time believing that the way of Jesus was the way of life and peace. He had such a hard time accepting that Jesus would suffer and die and then rise. Peter needed to be singled out because he, of all people, would have a hard time believing that the resurrection is true. He couldn't get his mind around it. When Jesus was arrested, Peter thought he knew the end of the story. He thought for sure, well, look, I know what's next. He'll be killed. I tried to tell him, Peter's thinking. I tried to tell Jesus that this wasn't the way. I tried to convince him to change course, to take the path of power and might, but no, he wouldn't listen. I tried to tell him that suffering wasn't the way. And now the angel says, hey, you tell the disciples and Peter. He was wrong. Jesus is alive, raised to new life, and Peter is not going to believe it. And I suspect that some of us are like this, like that if we lived back then, that Jesus would say, like, tell the disciples and you know who, you know? Those of us that have that skeptical side of ourselves, that have a hard time believing, and I don't just mean believing the facts of the resurrection, I mean believing the ways of Jesus. There are some of us that really struggle to accept that the way of life is a path through suffering and death and then to resurrection. Surely that can't be the way of God, right? Surely the way of God is the way of glory and power. Yes, but only on the other side of surrender and weakness and death. There's another reason, though, that Peter was singled out, I think. Peter, you see, of all people, would want the resurrection to be true. Peter, more than anyone, wanted that news to be true. "Be sure you tell Peter," the angel said. "As hard as it might be for him to believe, trust me. He, more than anyone, wants this news to be true." See, where was Peter that morning when the women were at the tomb? We don't know for sure, but probably isolated, despairing, and in shame. A few days earlier, when Jesus was taken into custody, Peter had betrayed him. It was Peter who three times had said, "I don't know that man. I'm not with that man." And when Jesus stood before his accusers, he was alone, and Peter had rejected him and left him. Peter's own failings had left him ashamed and diminished. So is there anything that can lift that burden of guilt for Peter? Yes, one thing, the resurrection. "Go tell the disciples," the angel said, "and hey, especially Peter, Christ is risen. Because if the resurrection is true, then ugliness can be overcome. If the resurrection is true, if Jesus is really alive, then sad things can be undone. If the resurrection is true, if Jesus is alive, then you, Peter, can be redeemed. Your mistakes can be forgiven. Everything that you've done wrong, every betrayal, every addiction, every unfair judgment of others, every unfair judgment of yourself, every time you've chosen the path of hostility with someone rather than the way of peace, every past mistake that you carry, like Peter did, can be forgiven because of the resurrection. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that if Christ is not raised, then we are still in our sins. Well, good news, Peter and everyone. Jesus is alive. You are forgiven and you are redeemed. Maybe some of you out there, I don't know, are living free and clear in life, you know? Maybe some of you out there don't carry the weight, but I think most of us probably carry some weight of our past and current mistakes. Many of us carry with us the pain and particular loss from this last year. There's nothing that we want more than to believe that those things can be redeemed or resurrected or forgiven or absolved. There's a path for us through sin and brokenness and pain and difficulty and even through death because of the resurrection. That is what the resurrection offers us. And so the voice of the angel is the same voice speaking to us today about the resurrection. "Go and tell my disciples and insert your name here. They, especially, for their own reasons, need to know about this." You are being singled out today like Peter was. There's a reason why you need to hear this news. Maybe it's because you're the kind of person that finds this stuff hard to believe. Maybe it's because you're the kind of person today that wants more than you ever have to believe that it's true. Maybe it's something else. But the good news of Easter is for you. Amen.